Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your host, Derek Hoskins, and with me as always is my good friend and yours, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how are you doing on this lovely evening?
Sorry, Derek, I don't mean to correct you, but he means co-host Ian.
That's true. But you're also my good friend. Are you not my friend anymore?
Just co-host.
Just co-host. It's
one or the other.
Friendship over.
You know what? I'm doing all right. Excuse me. I am excited to talk about comics with you as always. We rant about these all the time off air anyway, so it's fun to be able to like record and talk a little bit about it. And also, I don't know if we've got any sports fans out there, baseball fans, but currently Derek and I are supporting our baseball teams.
Which was an accident, by the way. I didn't even realize the Cubs were playing tonight, and I put on my Cubs hat.
Well, you'll have that.
Yeah.
So the Cubs and the Reds are playing in the Field of Dreams tonight, and as of right now, as we speak, the Cubs are beating the Reds 3-0. That's okay.
As usual. That's are you okay. Surprised?
No, but, you know, we're a ninth inning team. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
That might be the worst compliment of a team.
I know,
ever.
Right?
we're terrible for 8 straight innings, but half of an inning, we got it.
That's not even true either. Like they're not a 9th inning team.
No, they're really not.
Oh, to answer your question from earlier, this is a polo, Derek. It's not a jacket.
It looked like a jacket. It's a cool looking polo. I actually saw the sleeves.
Thank you.
For anybody not in this area, it's about 85, 90 degrees with the heat index. So the idea of one of us wearing a jacket is laughable.
Yeah, I just got off work. I was wearing this and I came home, threw my Reds hat on, and I was like, let's do this.
Let's do this indeed. Speaking of let's do this, we are doing another top five.
Top five.
I'm excited. It's been a little while since we've done one, and we've still got one more week before She-Hulk. So let's do this. We're going to talk about our top five.
I would like you to use that dialogue anytime we do a top five.
I absolutely will. What, Ian, are we ranking tonight?
Tonight, we are ranking our top five favorite graphic novels. And we are using the term graphic novel very loosely.
Yeah, you know, graphic novel and trade paperback are used kind of synonymously, and I don't really know what the difference is.
So the term graphic novel today is used a little bit incorrectly. The term graphic novel today is used to mostly describe trade paperbacks. So I brought one down here. So this is the Hawkeye trade paperback. Trade paperbacks being a collection of individual single issues. So this collects the entire run of Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run from 2012. It's one big thick volume, but it's a collection of individual issues. So this is a trade paperback, but you will hear people refer to this as a graphic novel as well nowadays, just because those terms are basically interchangeable in today's world anyway. But originally, back in the 70s and 80s, the term graphic novel was used to describe an original story. So I have one of those here too. This is from 1989. This is a story called Punisher Intruder. It's a hardcover. They also came in paperbacks as well. It's pretty thin. But this is an original story. So this was never printed in, you know, a couple single issues and then collected together or anything like that. This was when this story came out, it was this book right here. These were big in the 70s and 80s, especially with Marvel would do a lot of graphic novels. Actually, I have a lot of graphic novel Punisher stories. And again, they're all original stories. They're not collected editions. So these are what graphic novels started as. But they don't really do these anymore. They don't really do these kind of like one and done, just one off stories. They pretty much just put everything in single issues now and then collect those later into trade paperbacks. But again, a lot of people still refer to trades today as graphic novels. So the meaning has changed over the years. But, you know, the best way to think about it is graphic novel used to be original, but now We have trade paperbacks, which are collections of single issues.
Wow. Thanks, Bumpkins. For anybody that didn't listen last week, that was our friend Bumpkins TV popping in to school us on exactly the difference between trade paperback and graphic novel. Turns out, not really much of one anymore. So, Ian, why did you want to rank graphic novels this week?
Derek, I'm glad you asked. The reason I want to do my top five graphic novels is because graphic novels is actually what started me into like really getting into comics. I read a few like single issues here or there as a part of like a series, but I'd say my love, my passion really came from like graphic novels. And I've said this before on air last week, I actually think is when I told this story. I got into graphic novels with you and Mr. Robert Rand Tingle II, or is he the third?
Second. He's the a second. Junior.
And it was Marvel Civil War was one of, I'm not saying it's the first graphic novel I ever read, it's the first one that stands out in memory. Mm-hmm. And then it's a
big crossover.
Yeah, so that was big. And then the second big one that I remember was you went to this comic book store, and I want to say in Louisville, and when you came back, you had this book called Batman the Long Halloween. I've heard of Batman the Long Halloween. I had never read Batman the Long Halloween. I then read Batman the Long Halloween, and I just wanted to see how many times I could get away with saying Long Halloween.
Spoiler alert, it's going to be said at least one or two more times
this evening. I guarantee it. A piece, probably. Yeah. But yeah, no, essentially that's kind of what it got me into was graphic novels. I love graphic novels. I'm one of those type of people that anytime I go into like I said comic book, and anytime I'm in a bookstore, I always, if there's graphic novels, mm-hmm. I will always go look at the graphic novels. I do the same. Every single time. And it could even be like things I've already read. I think mm-hmm. graphic novels are so like good to me because like there's specific storylines,
right?
It's easier just to pick one of those up and read off that than to go back and like, and I do like to collect, don't get me wrong, but I had right. this conversation also last week about how it's less expensive to buy a whole graphic novel than to buy like every issue of something. I take that back to look at it like on DC Infinite
right.
or Marvel Unlimited. You can get a lot of, if not all of the graphic novels out there, and you could read like in the series, and that's cool. But like I said, it's easy to just click that, read through. I mean, I am not a like sponsored by DC Infinite or Marvel Unlimited, but I will tell you that in my downtime in the past few days, I was able to burn through like three or four one shots and some yeah. graphic novels and some issues. So it's really convenient at your fingertips to get on your phone and download the Marvel. I'm just kidding. I'm not really.
Ever yeah. Talking. I'm not against a sponsorship. Marvel, if you're listening, I downloaded
they should,
Marvel.
Man. Cause I'm,
I yeah. picked up Marvel Unlimited this week. Also, I was off work a couple of days with a kid with a broken foot and I needed to pick up on some back issues. Marvel Unlimited sponsor us, you a-holes.
Please. Or DC.
Or DC. I'm all for it.
Don't shut out my boys at DC. So yeah, I think it's the quickest way to be able to burn through some stuff. It's not the same as being able to have that book in your hands and flip through and look at the art. Cause like I said, that's what got me into comics and collecting and everything in general. So that is a huge part of our friendship is mm-hmm. us talking about graphic novels and comics in general. So I thought, why not reveal our, I mean, I'm a slut for top five segments.
Oh yeah.
I always bring it up and I always want to do top five segments. So this was another reason to do one. And plus, like, I think it's a good one. I think we're going to have similar lists. So we're going to throw in some honorable mentions and stuff because it's not just for you and I. Hopefully somebody listening to this will think, oh, I've never heard of that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I've always wanted to pick that up, but I never have. And we can inspire you to pick one up and read one of the hopefully 10 graphic novels we say, but again, like I said,
I think it might be eight,
have a lot the same.
Eight or yeah. nine.
So it might be eight or nine. I've been rambling on a minute. I was going to let you take over and I want you to start us off.
Yeah. Before I do, I wanted to add on to that about the idea of graphic novels and trade paperbacks, however you want to say it, collected editions, they all work. Yeah. That was how both of us really got into talking about comics together. Like you said, with Long Halloween, we've talked about it on here. I don't know how many times that we just shared that book and Dark Victory. And yeah, every time I go into a bookstore, even now I go and pick them up. And even if it's something that I know, like Iron Man, I've collected every single issue of Iron Man, of the main run of Iron Man, whatever it is, since the 2004 volume four, or no, not 2004, 2002, first issue came out in 2002, volume four of Iron Man with the Extremis storyline. But there was one run in there that was really bad, and I didn't want to buy the single issues, but then I felt bad later. So if you were to look at my collection, it would be single issues of Iron Man all the way back from the 90s, because I've gone back and got a lot of those. And then like one random segment of like three trade paperbacks that are actually the hardcover collected editions of it, because I needed to get the books for the collection, but I didn't want to pay for single issues for a storyline that I really hated. That was the storyline that was leading into like Arno Stark coming back in, and where you find out that Tony was actually adopted, and it was a weird story. It just, it wasn't for me. And the art, not to insult Greg Land, you're a phenomenal artist, but stick to covers, man. I do not like his interior art. Sorry. Now we've both been rambling on. So I will start us off. My number five, Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. I love the Sin City books. I've read all of them. I think I can't remember how many there are because it's been years since I've read them all. But I have read them all. I own all of them. But A Dame to Kill For is my favorite story that they did, or that Frank Miller wrote. It was really interesting. It was very dark and gritty and really kind of adult. You know, if you've seen the Sin City movies, A Dame to Kill For is what the basis of the second Sin City movie, I think that was even the subtitle of the movie, was based off of. And I would recommend reading the book. I wouldn't recommend watching Sin City 2. But Frank Miller's art and his way of writing is just, it's really hard to pass up. And Frank Miller in the 80s and like late 80s, early 90s was really firing on all cylinders with some excellent stuff. And Sin City was great. So Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, that's my number five. Ian, you're number five, sir.
I've said it before, I said it again. This is just my top five. This is in no particular order. This is going to be Batman Earth One.
Loved Earth One Batman.
I'm going to loop in volumes one and two as just a series, because if anybody's like, which one? Both of them are equally as good to me. For those of you that don't know Earth One, are you caught up?
I've read the first two. They've got three out now, right?
Three just came out, I want to say, earlier this year or late last year. It's within a year.
Yeah, I've read one and two. I didn't do three yet, but I did one and two.
So for those of you that have been following our top five segments, Batman Earth One actually made it on my top costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bat suit in that really well. The show Gotham was very, very loosely kind of based on this, because Alfred Pennyworth is a younger military vet. He kind of has like a hobble like he does in the show, but he was more hands-on, and he actually trains Bruce in that to be this badass. And it's basically a retelling of the Batman story, but it doesn't take forever to Batman forever. It doesn't take forever to kind of get into the story to where like it's this 80 page origin, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it kicks into the story really, really quick. And it's just a really cool like retelling. And he's very, very new to crime fighting, and he makes some mistakes and stuff. And it's just very interesting. And it's actually written by Derek's boy, Jeff Johns.
Yeah. And it was really well done. And also the Batman took a lot of cues from it, with the idea that Alfred was a bodyguard before he was a butler, that he was the one that trained him, walked with a cane. So the last couple of iterations of Batman that we've seen
walked with the cane, Michael Caine. Oh my God.
Yeah, Batman Earth One was a great, great pick for number five. My number four, and the only Iron Man story on this list, Because when I'm looking at my favorite graphic novels or my favorite trade paperbacks, my favorite collected editions, I'm looking at a single storyline that takes place over however many issues or that was just made for it. And my favorite complete storyline that they've done in any Iron Man was an Iron Man volume 4 that I talked about a minute ago. It was the second volume of that, and it was Iron Man Execute Program. It's a really random one. A lot of people have probably not heard of it. Daniel and Charlie Knopf wrote it. It was drawn pencils by Patrick Zercher. And the idea is that Iron Man is losing time and he doesn't remember what's happening to him when he is. And somebody has been able to get a hold of the Extremis in his brain, which is linked up to his suit, and basically take Tony out of the equation and control the suit by controlling Tony's body. And he has to figure out what's going on. They took a little bit of that for Iron Man 3 with the Iron Legion all coming in. There was a massive issue with that. It really, really good. I would highly recommend it. If you're an Iron Man fan at all, definitely check out Execute Program. That also leads into Civil War. So a lot of fun. I loved Iron Man Execute Program. And even though Iron Man's my favorite character, that is the only time you'll see him on my actual list. We'll show up again on my honorable mentions. Ian, you're number 4, sir.
Avengers versus X-Men.
Nice.
Yeah.
Why do you seem so sad about Avengers versus X-Men? That was a very popular story.
I need to take a deep breath. Sorry.
Very popular.
I don't remember it too well because I know I've read through it once. I actually just started it again recently so I could read back through it. I know the general premise is hope, is hoping. I'm on it tonight. she's hoping to evade the Phoenix coming back, but she ain't scared. So she says. So no, I just think it's a really awesome story between two cliques, so to say, two groups. One thinking, you know, they basically have to, I don't want to say murder Hope, but I feel like there's some bad intentions there because, like,
there's some pretty rough intentions with Hope. They kind of
don't you feel like they strongly imply like they're trying to capture her to basically put it into her?
Yeah, it's
I think
implied.
They say like in prison or something, like, or just like we'll just hold her and just like, okay, but what's wrong with her being like with where she's at? So,
yeah,
I need to, that's what I'm saying.
There's some implications.
There's definitely implications. And then,
I do know that once again, Tony was the reason why everything goes bad. I'm about tired of that. I'm going to go on a rant. Ever since Civil War, Iron Man has been used as the whipping boy for the Marvel comic universe. And I'm getting tired of it because in Avengers versus X-Men, the Phoenix Force is on its way to Earth. They want to stop it. And so what's Tony do? He builds a Phoenix Buster armor, this real clunky, goofy looking thing that he thinks is going to stop a cosmic entity. And he flies up into it. What's he do? Does he stop it? No. He breaks it into like 6 pieces and it goes and inhabits a bunch of the X-Men. And it kicks off everything.
Some of the more powerful X-Men, too. So he just makes it worse. He tried, though.
Freaking Colossus, Emma Frost, Cyclops, Namor, and I'm missing a couple. I don't even remember. It doesn't matter.
You said it so fast. It was Cyclops, Colossus, Emma Frost, Namor.
Was Magic one of them? Colossus's sister? I can't remember if it was 5 or 6. Either way, way to go, Tony. I'm so annoyed that Marvel keeps doing that ever since Civil War. Mark Millar, you screwed everybody over. Every Iron Man fan has to deal with Tony being the butt of the freaking joke every 2 years.
But at least that time, like, it was a good effort.
Well, yeah, if you say so.
I mean, compared to like Civil War,
don't. We had a whole conversation about this the other day. And we don't have time to talk about it on here because the Reds and the Cubs are playing, and I want to see the end of the Cubs beating the Reds. So my number 3, we're on my number 3, correct?
Did you give number 4?
Yeah, my number 4 was Iron Man Execute Program. Your number 4 Avengers versus X-Men. My number 3, V for Vendetta, which is a phenomenal book.
I've never actually read it.
Okay, I would highly recommend it. If you enjoyed the movie was a fun adaptation that did everything that it could in the film. I think it was a very well done adaptation, but the book has so much more going on with it. The storyline holds up so well today, kind of scarily well today, all about, you know, a government who becomes tyrannical because of a population that's afraid and forgets that the people have the power. It's a great, great story and just constantly poignant, even though, and relatable, even though it's a 40-year-old book at this point, or close to 40 years. Definitely recommend V for Vendetta, Alan Moore, Vertigo, back when we still had Vertigo before they closed it down. Excellent, excellent story. It's thick. It's a read, but it's definitely worth it. So that is my number three. Ian, your number three, sir.
By the way, there were five, and it was magic.
It was magic. Ha ha! I remembered. I don't know why I did that with my fists.
Huzzah!
I feel like huzzah needs to be used more often. Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead. Number three.
Flashpoint.
I'm seeing a trend.
What's your trend? What's my trend?
I'm seeing a slight trend. I'm curious of what the next ones are going to be. Big events. There are two big events so far, and it's understandable. It's not a bad trend. I'm just, I noticed a little trend there. I love Flashpoint as well. Flashpoint was a really interesting story. Please elaborate.
I love Flashpoint because it was a different take on a lot of things. Like, it kind of didn't introduce the multiverse into DC, but it introduced it in the, it kicked off the new 52 is right. What I'm trying to say. And I thought that was very important time in comics at the time, because the new 52 was a brand new thing. And the new 52, for, again, those of you that don't know, was basically DC's way of like reintroducing a bunch of like comic book characters and new series. So Batman, Superman, all of these start back at basically number one. So instead of, you know, Batman, Detective Comics and everything, number 1000 or whatever, mm-hmm. I think they're in the 900s. They kick it off with, you know, New 52 number one, and then a lot of characters got facelifts.
Right,
Wing got a huge facelift, and he got a new costume, and mm-hmm. It was the red on black, and I freaking love that one. I got nothing against the blue on black.
Oh, we've had this conversation. I love the red,
but red on black is one of the best suits of all time. It reminds me very much like the Robin suit from Batman and Robin, but much cooler.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I really like that suit. I like the short hair. I mean, just that run was amazing. All the artists, all the writers were just on point in mm-hmm. New 52. And you don't have that without Flashpoint. And then Flashpoint introduces Thomas and Martha Wayne as Batman and the Joker.
Which, good God, Martha Wayne is a Joker. That crazy. That scene,
she was insane.
The scene where she, or the panel where she's sitting there holding Bruce. Mm-hmm. Because if you guys haven't read Flashpoint, this is a bit of a spoiler that Martha Wayne becomes the Joker and Thomas Wayne becomes Batman because Bruce is the one that is murdered in the alleyway, and Martha Wayne is holding her dead son and wipes her face. And the blood on her hand from her son wipes across her face, and she completely loses her mind and just starts to cackle. And it is so haunting and such a wild,
And that's how she becomes crazy. The Joker, and Thomas becomes Batman. It's crazy. The suit's pretty cool as well.
A little splash of red in there.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, he, again, spoilers, but he comes back in the DC Infinite series, so mm-hmm. where they kick back in like 2016 after Rebirth had kicked off a new series for DC. So he makes another appearance coming back from that universe. So again, like, he doesn't come if Flashpoint doesn't happen. And Flashpoint gets a little weird at times with I think it was Barry trying to outrun I want to say Jay was in there at one point. I know that.
Yeah.
And they were trying to like outrun Death. You remember that crazy, like, weird side note?
Yeah. What were they? Who were they trying to outrun?
I thought it was like
the Black Racer.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think like not only was he the Black Racer, but I think he was like kind of like hinted to be like Death.
Right.
So they're like, oh, we got to do this. I'm just like, okay, this is kind of weird. This is taking a weird turn. Not awful, but still. They did a movie, The Flashpoint Paradox. And let me tell you, the movie didn't hold a candle to the comic.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they changed too much. DC seems to be doing on their animated movies here lately.
Yeah, and I don't understand that trend. The stories are great. You're adapting the story. Why are you adding? Why are Batman and Batgirl having sex on a rooftop?
Oh, God, don't you
someone get me explain
started
it to
on
me.
That. Don't you get me started
someone.
On that.
Give me a comment. If you think I can't imagine there can't be anybody, but if you actually liked the change to the Killing Joke where Batman and Batgirl had a sexual relationship, explain to me why you like it. I know that was something that was hinted at in the Batman animated series, not explicit like that. If
it
you
was
exist,
much more subtle.
If you exist, I want you to just write a comment and tell me why. I'm genuinely curious. If you thought that was a good idea, get in the comments of this YouTube video. If you're listening to the podcast, please write us a note on social media, send us an email at the website. But I want to hear from somebody that liked that change, because I don't think you exist. Sorry, Ian, I didn't mean to overtake your discussion, but
no, you're fine. So I brought this up before. I was in a movie theater watching that when it first came out, and it was crowded. And as soon as it happened, there were some people who you could tell had never read the comic. They were like, what? And then a lot of people, present party included, were like, what the fuck? Like out loud. I think I don't think I yelled it.
I'm sure some people did.
But I don't know a lot of
people. I'm sure in theaters around the world, people were yelling that.
Oh, there were a few in the one I was in. But yeah, Flashpoint was a good story to me. And it was, like I said, it was very important because it kicked off that. Like you said, I have been going big events, but that's just because like they made an impact on me and they were what circulated in our friend group the most at the time.
And there's nothing against big events. I came very close to having a couple of those on my list. I have one. But I came close to having two or three. I've got a couple in the honorable mentions. So that brings us to my number two. I struggled with this. This almost made number one. But my number two is Batman, The Long Halloween. We have talked about it a lot. I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a fan of Batman at all, if you're a fan of superhero comics, do yourself a favor and read Batman, The Long Halloween. It is excellent. It's a bit of a long read, but it is so, so worth it. And please, once again, speaking of adaptations, don't watch the animated movies that they put out. Read the book, enjoy it for yourself. And trust me, I will be very surprised if you don't like it. I know Ian and I talk about it a lot. It is hands down my favorite Batman story that has ever been told. It still has not been topped. It was one of the first graphic novels, trade paperbacks, one of the first ones that I ever bought, and it's still I'll still read it from time to time. It is so, so good. I can't sing its praises enough. So Batman Long Halloween, that's my number two. Ian, you're number two, sir.
I want to let you know now, Long Halloween is not in my top five because it was an obvious one. So I'm trying to mix it up and give people something new. Long Halloween is definitely in my top five of all time for sure. But for this list, I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Ooh, I can't wait.
It's appropriate because you know the baseball.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not super far into this, like volume one. But I'm enjoying it so much that and I'll tell you why it's on my list after I just Lock and Key.
I knew it was going to be Lock and Key.
Yes. I like Lock and Key so much as a show on Netflix that I knew it was a Joe Hill graphic novel. I never got into it, like not because I didn't try is why I never got into it. Not because I wasn't enjoying it. I just never attempted to read it. So that for me, I watched the first season and I was like, man, I really want to watch this or read this book now. And I borrowed it from a friend and I got through the first volume and I was very impressed with it. That's another one I'm going to have to, I know, like I started it a while back, so I know I'm
forgetting. It's relatively 90%. Long. I mean, that story is what, 80 to 100 issues, something like that. I mean, it was a long running.
There's book. Like what, 5 volumes of it or something like that. Roughly 4 or 5, some ballpark of that. And like I said, I've only got through like the first volume of it, but I'm going to go back and start it again. But the reason it makes my top 5 is because like the book is really good. It's very different from the show. The show, for those of you that are familiar with the Netflix show Lock and Key, it's a good show. It's spooky, but let me tell you, it's a lot more graphic in the graphic novel. There's more bloodshed. It's graphic.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a very interesting story, very interesting premise. I do think it's really funny that they're actually like kids in the show, but in the comic they're supposed to be kids, but the older brother looks like a grown man. He's a giant, massive, hulking guy. So
yeah,
I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, man, that's why that crept into my top 5.
That is awesome. Well, before we get into our number ones, we have some honorable mentions. Also, I wanted to I sent a couple of messages here to some of our friends of the show to ask them. And so Trent Persinger, wonderful former co-host, our social media manager, graphic designer, RIP. My camera's doing something funky. Focus. Trent gave us his number one because everybody didn't want to give their top fives. Trent's number one was Batman The Long Halloween. So
really, that's his solidarity. Number one?
I was surprised. I thought it would be something with the turtles possibly.
Yeah, you'd think.
But it was not. Also, I got one of the other silver screen scoundrel, Mr. Bobby Tingle, said that his favorite was Spider-Man Ends of the Earth, which is a great storyline where Spider-Man is just really put through the ringer in Ends of the Earth. It's really well done. I'd recommend it if you haven't read it. Also, dear, dear friend of the show, Sean Winningham from The Caption Life, actually gave us a full list. He said Hawkeye, the Barton Bishop, Saga, Batman Court of Owls, Superman Earth One, and The Sandman. Superman Earth One, Batman Court of Owls, and Saga were going to be on my honorable mentions list. So, well done, Sean.
Court of Owls is on any list of
Court of Owls is amazing.
Not this one because I've talked about it so much on this show. That I didn't put the obvious ones in my top. Mm-hmm.
The entire story of Court of Owls. Again, I'm going to give one of the reasons I like these when we talk about comics is a good way for people that are listening that may not read a lot of comics to get some ideas. If you're a fan of Batman, like we said, The Long Halloween for sure. But if you want to read something a little more current, the entire run of Scott Snyder's Batman, all of the New 52 Batman, but specifically the Court of Owls. And while you're reading the Court of Owls, if you can pick up the Night of Owls, do that as well, because that takes the main conflict in Court of Owls and it shows it from all of the Bat family perspectives. So you get Nightwing, you get Robin, you get Red Robin. It's really, really, really good. It's excellent writing. It's some of the Court of Owls is the best antagonistic organization in modern comics, in my opinion. Court of Owls is great. I didn't put it on my list because it is a very big story, and I think of it as a multiple part thing. So I didn't put it on there, but great list, Sean. So Ian, do you want to hit some honorable mentions, and then I'll do some, and then we'll do our number ones.
It was tough to narrow them down. Mm-hmm. It really was. Dark Victory, sequel to Long Halloween, amazing.
Worthy sequel.
Civil War. We've gushed about Civil War so many times on here. I got a few like one shots that we're going to reveal later. I'm assuming we're still going to do a separate.
Yeah, we'll do another top five when we have a little break. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, but we'll have a break here in a couple of months or so, and we'll do a top five one shots, if I could speak. Which are single issues. Again, for those of you that are not comic readers, they're single issue stories that are one and done.
Some newer ones are Batman, Death of the Family.
Oh, so good. No, Death of the Family.
And the direct sequel to that being Endgame, Batman Endgame.
Yeah. Any other honorable mentions before I, excuse me, before I rattle some off?
And they come to mind.
I've got a handful, a couple of older ones. Watchmen is tried and true. It is a very dense read, but it is one that if you're a comic book fan, I truly believe you have to read at least once before you leave this earth. Iron Man, Demon in a Bottle. It's the one that a lot of people think of when they think of Iron Man. Also, Iron Man Extremis, I mentioned that earlier, is fantastic. Iron Man, Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., a lot of Iron Mans in there. All of those are great. Definitely recommend it. Demon in a Bottle, the reason why it's one that so many people bring up is because that is where Tony is dealing with alcoholism for the first time. He loses his company, becomes homeless. It's a dark story, for especially for the time that it was written in. But also the Sinestro Corps War, which is a Green Lantern crossover book that's excellent. Almost made it into my top five. Sinestro Corps War is Geoff Johns really firing on all cylinders, and also all the other Pete Tomasi and I can't remember the person doing the third Green Lantern book at that time. But anyway, the writers were all on point. Iron Man, Hands of the Mandarin. Again, good, fun, late 80s, early. I can't remember exactly when that came out. Actually, it would have been the 90s because War Machine was in there. And one that is a surprise to most people because it wasn't as well received in the Ultimate Universe. But I really love the first two volumes of the Ultimates, which is the ultimate version of Avengers. It's dark, it's gritty, it's a little silly. It's kind of what the Avengers, the first Avengers movie was based a lot off of, the Ultimates Volume 1 and 2. And the Avengers film in 2012 was a much better telling of that story. But I do recommend it. If you're a fan of the Avengers, it's a fun time to read a little Elseworlds kind of story. And yeah, I highly recommend it. The Ultimate Universe in general was really good at the beginning there. So yeah, those are my honorable mentions. So I'll give my number one, and then Ian, you can finish off the list here. My number one is another Green Lantern crossover, but not just Green Lantern. It brought in the entire DC universe in a really brilliant way. Again, this is Geoff Johns just killing the game. Absolutely perfect. I think this is one of the greatest stories ever told in all of comics, and that is Blackest Night. Blackest Night is a zombie story done in a superhero world that doesn't break the world that it's in. Marvel did it with Marvel Zombies, and it broke the entire world. They had to change everything to bring in zombies. Blackest Night took advantage of the zombie craze of the time, made complete sense, tied it in with the overarching Green Lantern mythos that Geoff Johns had been building up, that had been building for years, and then also brought in the entire DC universe in a way that it actually brought characters back to the forefront that had been gone for a long time. And it was just really, really well told. And it's a dark book. It's got some pretty, pretty gory imagery, especially for like a mainstream, you know, DC book. But I really, really recommend it. That is one that I hand over to people that aren't big fans of the DC universe. I tell them to read Blackest Night because I think it's a really fun way to get into it. You meet a lot of characters. You know, you don't have to know a lot about them to begin with. You get enough information that you need. You get to meet a huge group of people, a lot of really entertaining action, and some incredible art by, I believe, Ivan Reis that did the art for that. And it was excellent. So Blackest Night, my number one with a bullet. Ian, number one, sir.
Number one for me is going to be All-Star Batman and Robin.
Oh, God.
That's not true.
I thought you were serious for a second.
No.
Don't do that to me.
That is in my top five worst comics of all time.
Yeah, you remember how I was talking about Frank Miller just really being great in the early 80s and early 90s? Yeah.
And then he did that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Actually, I think at first he fucked up with Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah, Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Dark Knight Returns was decent. It was
Dark
good.
Knight Returns was great. Dark Knight Strikes Again. I did not get to see. I have not gotten to read Dark Knight. What is
Master Race?
Master Race.
Master Race. I haven't read all of it, but when I started off, like
he didn't write it by himself, though. That's why.
Yeah, it was much better.
Who wrote it with him? Was it Scott Snyder? Or was it? Who was it? Somebody wrote it with him.
Was it Greg, hold on, I'm gonna look it up real quick.
Greg Rucka?
Oh no, the other Greg. Sorry, I was.
That's all right. While Ian's looking that up, I can do all of our stuff because we're getting close to the end here. If you're enjoying the show, please make sure that if you're watching,
It was Brian Azzarello.
Brian Azzarello, thanks for interrupting my my spiel that I was trying to do for.
You technically interrupted me first.
Whatever. If you're enjoying the show, please make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell. If you're listening on the podcast, rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Don't forget to check out our sweet, sweet merch store and interact with us on our website, paperweightentertainment.com. Ian, back to your number one.
Derek, I'm glad you asked.
Brian Azzarello is the one that co-wrote Master Race with Frank Miller.
He did, and he also did that Joker series, which I never read, but I heard it was good. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if he wrote Damned, which was the follow-up to it. I can't remember or not. My number one, the return of Jeff Loeb, Batman Hush, and the legendary Jim Lee.
Yeah.
Great penciler.
I actually have the pencil version only, the one where it's actually got his notes in there with it. And
that
everything.
One's pretty cool. That's such pretty a cool thing. It's just I've black
read it,
and white. Right?
I've read it in the full color and everything, but I own the hardcover of the. It, I think it's called Hush Unwrapped, and so yes. it's the mm-hmm. panels are not finished, and excuse me, it's all just the pencil drawing, and like I said, all the little notes in the margins from Jim Lee. It's incredible. I recommend checking it out. Maybe not buy it if you're not a collector, but check it out.
Surprise, most of my list was DC and Batman. Surprise.
Hey, but, three of mine were DC.
That actually was a surprise. What I was saying was sarcasm.
I know.
No, man, Hush is the tits for me. Hush is the creme de la creme. It is It's top three all around, and favorite story. Like I just love Jim Lee's art style. And,
I do too.
I'm not trying to take it away from the colorization of it. Like it was obviously phenomenal, but I just like the way. Man, we've had this conversation. The way that Jeff Loeb writes.
Yeah.
It's just
the only thing I wish, even though I love Jim Lee in that, I wish we could have gotten another Jeff Loeb, Tim Sale.
Yeah, Tim Sale's art style is really good. Don't get me wrong, but I do like Jim Lee's there.
I do too. I just like the combination of Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
True. I won't take that away, but I think Jim Lee is just he's sharper and like his.
Oh yeah, his lines are crisp.
Yeah, and Tim Sale is very much like slope jaw and. Thing is coming to a point and having like this weird kind of style, and it's cool. Like it worked for Long Halloween. It was phenomenal. Yeah. I'm not trying to downplay or take.
He doesn't do photorealism, and Jim Lee tries at photorealism. I think that's the difference there.
Tim Sale has an exaggerated
version of things. Like his Joker has a giant jaw and big craggly teeth. And
2000 teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of teeth in Joker's mouth.
Very, very gummy.
But yeah, that's a great number one.
So that's one of my favorites. The introduction of Tommy Elliott. Tommy mm-hmm. Elliott is a very underrated character. With people I talk to, a lot of people have never even heard of Tommy Elliott or Hush.
Right.
He is in the top 100 villains of all time, mm-hmm. as he should be because he's so creepy.
He is a creepy dude.
For anybody who hasn't read, I hate to like give a spoiler, but
spoiler for a 25-year-old
Tommy Elliott is the childhood best friend of Bruce Wayne, who pretty much grows up with them, and they kind of like adopt him as their own at one point. He doesn't actually like live with them, but I mean they're pretty much like him and Bruce refer to each other as brothers because Tommy's mom and dad die in a car accident, and then you find out later.
Wasn't an accident.
And the reason behind it was so fucking. Oh man,
he's a creepy. He's just petty. Creepy.
It was so petty. What yeah. didn't it have something to do with the, like he thought that they liked Bruce Moore or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, they liked something like that. Yeah, yeah. If you want, there were a couple of references in the Batman that Hush may be coming to that universe sometime soon.
Yeah.
So maybe before the next. Batman movie, maybe give Hush a a read and check it out. I believe they did an animated movie of that as well, but I didn't watch it.
They did. They botched it.
Of course,
they did. In my opinion, they changed the
ending. It did. One thing that they did with Hush that I really liked is that was, I feel like Bruce in general in Batman comics is not overly, how do I want to say, complimentary of Dick Grayson.
Glad you said
Grayson. Yeah, I had to do Grayson. That's he's not overly, he doesn't usually show a high respect for Nightwing. Like he does,
and he doesn't show respect it, Dick.
He doesn't respect the Dick. But in that, there's one line when he's fighting against quote unquote Jason Todd. And he's talking about how there's no way that it's Jason, because Jason wasn't as good, and that Jason was using moves that Dick Grayson would have used. And he made the comment that Jason was never as good of a fighter as Dick. And I liked that, because I like Dick. I'm a big fan of Dick.
Huge
one of my favorite
fan of Dick.
One of my favorites is Dick. Dick's fantastic, as a matter of fact.
I personally
like it better when I personally like it better when Dick's in all in red.
Oh yeah.
Not so much in the, you know, the other costumes. But yeah.
I'd take Dick over Rick any day of the week.
Oh, good Lord. Don't be started on Rick. I'll end that joke right now. Dick Grayson's amazing. Rick Grayson's lame.
Are you talking about the fucking comb over hair?
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible what they did to such a great character. Okay. Oh, my gosh. All right. So that was our list. What was your list of top five graphic novels, trade paperbacks, collected editions? You can throw an omnibus in there if you want to. Let us know comments.
We use graphic novel very loosely.
Yeah, and it's most people do. It's become synonymous. But you know, let us know what your favorites are. Comment on this. You know, comment on the social media post that Trent's going to put up, because he's amazing and he always does that. And hold on.
Bless you.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I had to lean away quick and sneeze. I had to mute my mic. That's been building this entire episode. We have been on this call for over an hour.
What you can't see is I've been tickling your nose with a feather.
But anyway, so let us know what your favorites are, and comment below. Do all the things that you're supposed to. Seriously, check out our merch store. There's some really fun things on there, especially the new Silver Screen Scoundrels logo, which, again, our dear, dear friend Trent Persinger did a phenomenal job with. And so thank you guys so much for sitting here with us. We're back to our normal programming next week. We've got She-Hulk is coming out, and then at the end of September, Andor and Bad Batch season 2. We have got so much stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks and months. I can't wait to talk about it all. I'm really looking forward to She-Hulk.
He's gonna have to wait
though. Yeah, I know. So make sure that you guys are following us so that you catch everything that we're gonna talk about. So thank you again for Ian. I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Yay!